The Money Show.
Small business.
So how do you grow while you're flying? Fly SFA, I learned that lesson today. They were flying, but their website crashed. Oh, man. I saw Jeremy Sampson responded to a tweet. I was flabbergasted by the way in which companies do this, and they do this to themselves all the time. They know their website's going to crash. They know they create a social media strategy around the fact that the website's going to crash, but they do it anyway to build the brand. And I think you undermine the brand, but that's just me. Hey, call me old-fashioned. Now, listen, Pavlo Fitidis, you've been giving talks in Joburg and in Cape Town this week to entrepreneurs who many of whom have been in business for 10, 12, 15 years, but who are maybe at a T-junction or maybe at some kind of cul-de-sac in their businesses, and they want to go, I'm busy working, I'm busy flying, this business is going fine, but I need to take it to the next level. I've got to build this business while I fly. What have the crowds been like?
Well, they've been fantastic. You know, we were oversubscribed here at 702. Mm-hmm. We had a crisis in Cape Town this morning where we needed to put out more tables and more chairs.
Awesome. Nice. And you had a Fly Safe Air moment.
And the thing that really pleased me, Bruce, is the businesses that we were talking to, I'd say probably the average age of the business in that room was probably around 14 years, 15 years. So these are established businesses. In Johannesburg, it was probably 17 years.
What's so interesting there to me is you would think that people who've been in business for that long for themselves kind of understand what they need to do and how to do it. And it's wonderful to me that they know that they don't. And every bit of guidance can help.
But, you know, we get conned a lot by the media that's put out there because we're constantly looking for the rock star entrepreneur. If you read any of Trump's books, the rock star is the I word. He did everything remarkably on his own. And remarkably, he even said at one point in all his political meanderings that he's got good genes. You know, there was very good, I think he even said there was very good stuff used in the creation of his genetic material. And in many ways, if you read Branson's book, it's always I. Yeah. And so we start to read these books and we start to imagine in listening to people who claim credit very easily and speak about what they have achieved. We start to imagine, well, you know, if I can't get my business to the $1 billion level, then surely, you know, it's, I'm ashamed of it. I'm embarrassed about it. There's something wrong with me. And yet, Bruce, in 14 years, I have never seen anyone do it on their own. And you can have a great business partner. And even in that, you develop groupthink. And if you don't have someone from the outside looking in, prodding, pressing, asking a few questions, perhaps putting you on a tangent where you go out of the box to come back into it, that perspective is very, very hard, very, very hard to get right. And in fact, an airplane does not fly without an air traffic control tower.
Okay, got you. We need an air traffic control tower. But this analogy of building while you fly, while we've got air traffic control towers, we've got pilots, we've got airplanes, take me through this idea of building while you fly.
Okay, so you and I are going to start a business, and we start in a garage, and the first thing we do is we put together the designs of an airplane that we think. An airplane is a very good analogy for building a business. You have many systems in the aeroplane. So you've got engines and you've got wings and you've got, what's the front part called?
Cockpit.
Thank you. You've got that and you've got the cargo area. And you've got
turny, whirly things, the engines. Yeah.
You've got all of that. So those are the systems. And in effect, what the aeroplane does, it's going from A to B. It's run by the pilot, in other words, the entrepreneur. And as you grow over time, you suddenly realize that the aeroplane you have doesn't have a big enough cabin to accommodate the business's growth, bringing on more passengers, bringing on more revenues, growing to the next level. And here's the thing. When you're flying that aeroplane, Bruce, and once you take off, you can't land. You're up in the air. You've got to keep going, and you've got to build the aeroplane whilst you're flying it. It's a great analogy for how business builds.
And we know how dangerous that would be. So how then do you guide people who are piloting this part, this machine with a million moving parts? I once spoke to an investor. I said, why don't you like airlines? Aeroplanes have got too many moving parts, too many things that can break. And businesses are a bit like that.
Yeah, very
so
much
so. You're so busy focusing on, you can't put the aeroplane, this particular aeroplane on autopilot because you haven't built that part of the aeroplane yet. So you're at the controls. You might have your navigator, and you might have your co-pilot, and you might have the stewards and stewardesses at the back. But ultimately, you are in charge of making sure this gets to its destination safely.
Yes, so the first thing you need to do, if that is the case, is you need to get out of the cabin. You need to be sure that you're spending all your time, if not most of your time, in the cockpit. Because in the cockpit, you're controlling the direction of the plane. You have all the diagnostics, you have all the tools, you determine how fast, how far, and where you go. And that's the starting point. Why do you do what you do? Why do you do what you do? And Bruce, we forget. Because what happens is, as we're building businesses, especially if the business is growing, as it grows, it simply compounds the chaos that was there the day before or the year before, unless you build it in a very particular way. But you don't have the time to actually go back into the cockpit to redirect the business and to perhaps moderate the growth so that you can fix the services in the cabin to keep the passengers you do have happy. And the technique there, there are three things you've got to get right. The first thing you've got to get right is remind yourself why you're doing what you're doing. And I'm sorry, Bruce. I'm sorry to say this again and again and again and again. But if you're doing what you're doing and what you're doing is not building an asset of value, then you really need to think about...
Why are you bothering?
Why are you bothering? Quite honestly, why are you bothering? Because one of the four features of an asset of value is when you're doing your selling, the systems in the business secure the customers. The systems in the business retain the customers. It's not you doing it. So the starting point is to get into an asset of value mindset.
How do we get to an asset of value mindset? We'll find out in just a moment. We are at 40,000 feet. Pablo is the captain. I shall deliver drinks and show you the emergency exits should you require them. But if not, 021-446-0567, 011-883-0702. If you want to talk to Captain Pablo.
The Money Show.
Small business.
So how do we get to this point?
Okay, so we're going to build the asset of value, and the first characteristic of an asset of value is that the business needs to be orientated to a customer. And what customers want, Bruce, is they want a particular experience in how they buy whatever it is that you're offering. So if in your asset of value program that you're busy building in your business, you're going to try and be a service provider to every single person who knocks on your door, you're never going to be able to understand the customer experience the business needs to deliver through the systems it builds. For example, the Antonov airplane is a cargo carrier. Mm-hmm. It can carry 240 tons of stuff. It's massive. That's all it can do. It's a dreadful flight for you and me if we're going to Mauritius on holiday, whatever the case might be. The Learjet is a different kind of plane that delivers a different kind of experience. So the business you build needs to be built to deliver an experience for a select group of customers. That's the starting point. Once you've got that right, you got to now figure out what customers want. And when I speak to a lot of entrepreneurs, they say they want service. Really? What else? No, they want price. Okay, and what else? No, they want availability. Now, I can tell you that it's impossible to offer an expert level of service at the cheapest possible price on a 24/7 basis. So you need to make a decision. I'm going to be the price person, or I'm going to be the service person, or I'm going to be whatever the capability is that I need to be to give that group of customers that particular experience. I'm building a Learjet, and that's all I'm building, because the customers I serve want the Learjet. And think of it from that point of view.
The temptation, however, to serve the Antonov customers, the Boeing customers,
and anything else that walks through the door,
helicopter customers, and people who like hang gliding is very tempting.
Yes, but you've got to in the early stages. And the early stages are the first 3 to 5 years.
How do we know when we've got to a point where there's an autopilot on this plane?
Okay, so well, now you've decided who you're going to serve. Yeah. You've decided what capabilities you need to have. And then you start looking at all the functions of the business. You've got marketing and operations and finance and sales and all sorts of functions. You need to start putting the activities that make up those functions into lists. These are the things I need to do to deliver marketing. These are the things I need to do to deliver operations. And you take this vertical list and you drop it on its side, and what you then start having is a flow chart of activities organized into a sequence. You test it out, make sure you can measure it, and then you create the job description for the system operator who's going to be responsible for sales or operations or procurement or whatever the case might be. It's the very earliest stage of getting out of the kitchen.
How many of the people who came to your meetings, the 14-year-old on average businesses, are at that stage after 14, 15, 16 years?
Well, here's the thing. You kind of always revisit that stage, because if you look at how business grows, it doesn't grow in this beautiful, gliding, smooth 45-degree line.
It's like taking you from OR Tambo International Airport on a summer's day at 4 o'clock with cumulonimbus clouds building all around you.
Yeah, you bounce
and
up.
And you're in a Cessna.
And you're in a one-engine Cessna. Yes. You bounce all the way up. So business grows. The profile of good growth in a business looks like stairs on the side. It's a side view of stairs. You've got the risers, where you're putting your foot flat on the gas. And then you've got the treads. And the treads are when you have to rebuild and reconstitute the body of the plane, refigure out the bigger engines that you need to get to the next riser.
Okay. Now, the biggest thing for anybody running their business is getting off the treadmill.
Yeah, it is. So you've created these systems, right? And all these systems are pointing to delivering this very particular experience for that very particular kind of customers. And then the most difficult thing to do, Bruce, the most difficult thing to do is to delegate and allow the system operator that you've identified to deliver that particular set of activities to go for it. And with the best training in the world and with the most clearly specified set of activities in the world, there's a very, 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 very high chance that that employee is going to make a mess of the first activity. Don't get involved. Do you remember when you were 3 years old?
No.
Do you remember when you went to three-year-old birthday parties and you were 3 years old?
No.
Okay, I'm going to give you a memory that you will remember.
Yes.
And you might have been five. It was when you were looking at that big chocolate cake. And on that chocolate cake was a big candle. And you took your finger and pointed it towards the candle. And you moved your finger towards that flame. And your parents or a guardian turned around and said, "Don't do that. You're going to burn yourself." And as you turned your head, or as they turned their heads.
You did it anyway.
You did it anyway. And how many times did you do it?
Still do it today.
Oh, dear. Okay, you are not a good case study, and I know a very good doctor.
I thought you were going to say, do you remember the chocolate cake, and you ate too much, and I do that still.
As well.
No. Sometimes, some of us learn from our mistakes and others don't, but your point is well made.
Papa. My point is that you learn from mistakes. You have to allow that person to fail, let them experience the pain, the embarrassment, the cost, whatever it might be, and then use the error that was made in delivering that system as the training material.
Pavlo Fotidis, Captain Pavlo, this evening in charge of Flight 702 and Flight 567 on the way back up. Thank you.